First to South Korea, and Donald Trump jets into Seoul on the second stop of his five-country tour of Asia. He's accompanied by a conspicuous show of force. Three US Navy aircraft carrier strike groups are staging exercises together in the Western Pacific. These North Asian stops, after Japan yesterday and China later this week, are very much in the shadow of North Korea's nuclear ambitions. And today, the president will come very close to Pyongyang, though he won't visit the demilitarized zone. Peter Lloyd looks at what we can expect.
Air Force One is delivering a political payload to Seoul in the shape of Donald Trump. For the first time as president, Mr. Trump will be in Kim Jong-un's immediate neighbourhood. Ewan Graham is the Lowy Institute's resident expert on the North Korean peninsula.
It's not all necessarily on the negative side of the ledger. The fact is, they say in Asian diplomacy, 90% is about turning up. So the fact that he is there and has gone to Asia during this crisis with the North also has the potential to deliver a positive reassurance message.
All right, what is that message?
Well, the message is that, A, that the US isn't going off half-cocked and about to engage in a preemptive or preventive war against North Korea without the consultation of its main ally in South Korea. That's been the main fault line. I think the other more important message of reassurance is that he's committed to the bilateral free trade agreement with South Koreans, because there have been worrying indications about the level of commitment of the Trump administration to do that. And if they were to pull out, I think that would be ruinous for the bilateral relationship and the broader economic narrative of the US.
Still, the first leg of this tour in Japan showed how easily all the bridge building and hard yards of scripted diplomacy can be upended. During the joint media conference with Prime Minister Abe, Donald Trump raised eyebrows with this declaration.
We want fair and open trade, but right now our trade with Japan is not fair and it's not open.
Then he declared Japan could shoot North Korean missiles out of the sky if it bought the necessary US weapons. Billy Mallard is the Reuters Japan bureau chief.
Not exactly the most diplomatic thing to say. And Prime Minister Abe sort of obligingly said, we would shoot them out of the sky if necessary.
And the Lowy's Ewan Graham says Mr. Trump was, well, wrong.
That particular statement wasn't grounded in factual reality. The fact is, it's very difficult for the Japanese to be able to do that. They don't have the technical capability to intercept those long-range test launches. And Mr. Trump is still on a learning curve there. And that's the downside of the ledger, is that he will say something that's unhelpful or that actively raises the hackles of the South Koreans.
Until now, Donald Trump has maintained that all options are on the table with North Korea now that the era of strategic patience is over. But the Pentagon is saying something different. Military joint chiefs in the United States now say a ground invasion of North Korea is the only way to locate and destroy with complete certainty Kim Jong-un's nuclear weapons. And that's prompted 16 war veteran members of Congress to warn the president against military action.
The Joint Chiefs of Staff has now confirmed that the only way to destroy North Korea's nuclear arsenal is through a ground invasion. That is deeply disturbing and could result in hundreds of thousands or even millions of deaths in just the first few days of fighting. As veterans, we have defended this nation in war and we remain committed to this country's security. We also understand that entering into a protracted and massive ground war with North Korea would be disastrous for US troops and our allies.
On top of the release of the Pentagon assessment, the US is carrying out a grand-scale drill of firepower in the Western Pacific. Three US aircraft carrier strike groups exercising together for the first time in a decade. Ewan Graham says the North Koreans won't miss the hint of force.
That's a very rare occurrence. They are supposed to exercise together. We've also got other deployments of F-35As to Okinawa. And I think this is all sending a message, partly as a backdrop to Mr. Trump's visit, that the US is still present and powerful and a force to be reckoned with. But it's also there, I think, particularly to try and craft a coercive diplomatic message to the North Koreans that if they were to try and mount a major provocation during this visit, the US is there and in a position to respond.
Was part of that coordination of message and theme and narrative the delivery of this message from the Pentagon about the kind of war that it would take to stop the North Korean nuclear ambition?
Well, I think the professional military men in the US are under no illusions about the costs and risks that are associated with a revived conflict on the Korean Peninsula. I understand that James Mattis has been spending a lot of time devoted to that subject. I don't see a kind of rush to conflict coming from that part of the US spectrum. It's rather the unknown quantities around the powers of the presidency and whether Mr. Trump decides he's not prepared to live with a nuclear North Korea.
In Japan, Mr. Trump's hosts figured out the best way to persuade an old-school American was a reassuring schedule of the familiar: golf and well-done steaks with lots of ketchup. You probably won't see Donald Trump eating kimchi in Seoul later today.
Peter Lloyd reporting.